With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
In the studio, a brilliant young lady who has been able to overcome tremendous odds to be where she's at today. Today, she is a published author and a whole lot more. Yasmine J. Giles is in the building. Yasmine, how are you?
I am blessed. Thank you so much, Rashad, for having me this morning.
Thank you for being here. When I first met you, you told me a little bit about your story. And you and I both come from dark places. And you have a book, and the title of your book is From the Pole to the Promise. And yes, pole means exactly what you think it means. You're talking about the stripping pole.
I am.
Okay. You were a stripper.
I was.
How long were you in that profession?
17 years.
17 years?
Yes, sir.
So when did you start?
I started when I was 15.
Wow. Give us some background.
Okay. So I was known when I was younger to be a dancer. I always liked dancing.
Right.
Music, come on, and I start dancing. My grandmother loves to host parties at the house. So she'd invite her friends over, and when they come over, they have a few cocktails. And before you know it, she'd invite me in the room with the adults and kind of hype me up to dance. She groomed me early that I was a girl who sat on a gold mine. And as long as I kept that in mind, I could use what I had to get whatever I want. So whereas it started out dancing, it eventually led to a lot of other things.
Let's talk about those other things. There's a reality here that has to be discussed and exposed, and sometimes it's an ugly reality, but what other things did it lead you to?
Okay, for example, at 15, I went to compete in a dance contest where I thought it was just a regular dance contest.
Right.
There started out with about 10 of us. By the time it got down to the last two, my opponent was so eager to win that she took her bra off, her shirt and her bra off. And when I turned over to see that I was about to lose the $500 dance contest because she was almost nude in front of everybody. And, of course, the crowd went wild. And the winner was based on the crowd participation.
Right.
And I had a lot of family and friends in the audience. I didn't want to lose. I didn't want to disappoint them. I was wearing, like, a tennis skirt at the time, so I just took my underwear off, threw it in the audience, jumped as high as I could in the split, and fell to the ground. And obviously, with everything flapping, I ended up winning the dance contest.
At 15?
At 15.
Today, you're the CEO and founder of My Sisters and Me Incorporated. Tell us about that organization.
My Sisters and Me Inc. Corporation is a dance team. It is a outreach organization. We feed the homeless. We teach young girls from ages 4 all the way to 19 how to dance in a positive way.
Right.
We specialize in majorette dancing, which is fun and sexy, but obviously is on a better platform than in a strip club or on a pole. I feel like if I can share some of my experiences with a lot of these young girls, they won't have to go down the same road that right. I went down. I'm also a mother of a daughter. My daughter's 16. She is a brilliant young lady, and my walk today has partly to do with her. When she was 10, she was kind of like, Mom, I wish you had a job where I could visit you at work. I wish, you know, you didn't have to perform in your birthday suit in order to make a living. And I really didn't understand what she meant, you know, being that I was always around her, always aware or able to be where she is because I didn't have, like, a set schedule. It was more of a flexible schedule. So I took what she said into consideration, and I just began to revamp my life. I went to school. I got a business management degree. I became the top of my class. I became the student of the year. I placed top 10 in all the technical colleges here in the state of Georgia. I've had the opportunity to host numerous of events, and look at me today. I never thought in a million years that God would open up so many doors, nor did I think I would ever have the courage to put my walk in words in a book where other people can kind of read, like, the first time I ever danced, or the first time I ever turned a trick, or the first time I did a threesome, or a bunch of other things that led to my demise and eventually bringing myself back together again.
What was the transition for you? What made you change?
My daughter. I wanted to break what we as color folks call generational curses, meaning as my grandmother and my aunts groomed me for dancing and kind of keeping company with men so that they can take care of me, I didn't want my daughter to go down that same path. I wanted her to be able to use her brains, then her beauty, not her beauty and her booty, if you will.
Right. Your book, let me read part of what's on the back. It says, Yasmeen hopes that after reading this book, you walk away with a clear understanding that all things are possible through Christ who strengthens us. This work is evidence that there is no stopping Mrs. Giles. Just sit back and see what she will be up to next. The reason why I connect with your story is because I understand what it's like to come from a place that teaches you one thing and you have to figure out that life doesn't work that way. And sometimes when you make that transition in your own personal life, there are others who refuse to follow you. There are some who refuse to be your friend. Did you go through that?
I'm definitely experiencing that 100% right now. And it's amazing that of all the questions for you to ask that. When I walked away from being in the strip club, I shared with them all the time how active I was in my church. I'm a proud member of the Vision Cathedral of Atlanta. I used to serve my bishop. I was one of his adjutants. So in the strip club, on Saturday nights, I would leave a little early because I needed to get prepared for church on Sunday morning. And they would tell me that I was a hypocrite and that I was playing with God. How dare I be in the club with them at night and then have the nerve or the audacity to go to church, let alone serve a bishop? Then I would get to church, and my church members, some of them knew what I did at night, and they would say, how dare you come from the club last night and then have the nerve to come in this church, let alone stand in the pulpit with the bishop? And I just said that God loves me no matter where I am. And when I was in a strip club, I brought God or the light in there with me. I would just talk to them girls about everything that they were going through in life, try to give them resources if I could, and just tell them that this won't always be our story.
That's right.
And then when I got to church, I used my testimony, same way they were giving out their tithes and offering with their good government jobs. I was using my ones, doing the same thing, volunteering, donating funds, doing whatever it is I could. I tried to be the person that would bridge the gap. I didn't always look like a church member, but I did my very best until I learned to do better.
But there shouldn't be a look. There should not be a look for a church member. And what's really hypocritical is that the people who are judging you were engaged in watching porn. They were cheating on their spouses. They had outside children. They were doing all types of things in secret.
Absolutely.
In secret. And they had the audacity to judge you in a place where you go if you have acknowledged you have an issue. I go to church not because I'm perfect, but because I'm imperfect.
Exactly.
That's why I go to church. All right. Sister, how can people get this book? I want them to get it now. It's a remarkable read.
Thank you so much. I am self-published. I'm doing everything on my own, so I'm learning as I grow. They can receive it now by emailing me. They can email at From the Pole to the Promise. And that's the word From the Pole, the number to the promise.
From the Pole
to the promise. At gmail.com.
From the Pole to the number
promise@gmail.com.
What do you want people to know about you and about what they can do?
I want people to know that do what you have to do, why you have to do it. But learn everything you can while you're doing whatever that thing is that you feel like you have to do until you can get over to the next thing. Then take everything you learn and master it. Become the best version of yourself possible, and then pull some other people along to do the same thing.
Very well said. Thank you, sister, for having the courage and the heart to live out loud.
Thank you so much.
And let me do this. Let me do this. I know I'm way past time. But I'm already getting inboxes of judgmental people. Be careful, because I will call your whole name out on this show. But let me address you generally first. You call yourself a Christian and you have forgotten the parable of the prodigal son. The son who left the providence of his father, took the inheritance early, and went out and spent all of it. The father and the son never broke relationship. they only broke fellowship. Because that father was always the father, and the son was always his son. So even though he went to a faraway land and spent his money and found himself at the lowest of low, the parable says he was feeding pig. Now remember, when Jesus told this parable, he was talking to Jews. Jews don't even eat swine, let alone feed them. That represented this son being at the lowest of the low. And when the son came to himself and came back home, the Bible says that the father saw him beyond the city gates, ran outside of the city gates to hug his son. Now, do you think the father knew that the son was coming back that day? Or maybe the father went out every day in anticipation of the son coming back. And there was an old Deuteronomy law that said when a son did something like that with their inheritance, that the city elders were to stone that son on sight. That's why the father ran outside of the gates, because he said, if the elders are going to stone my son, they got to stone me first. And he walked his son back into the city and told his servants to kill the calf. Let's have a feast. My son who was lost is now found. There was only one person in that home that could not understand why this was happening. And it was the son who stayed at the house. The son who did everything he was supposed to do. He simply did not understand the love of his own father. You see, the son that remained is what this parable is about to me. The son that judges everybody else. The son that stays around this amazing father and never understood his love nor his grace. That's my word to all of you who just inboxed me. You're getting real with the realest man on radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.